The sole salvation emphasis we hear declared from the pulpits is the need to be born again. On the other hand, the Bible declares that it's equally important to remain faithful to God to the point of death as it is to get born again in the first place. For without the latter, the former will be useless in getting one into the kingdom of God. Please ponder that eternal truth for you in Revelation chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Now, here is your host, Brother Dan Corner.
In the little book of Jude, this is the epistle right before the book of Revelation, we read this, starting at verses 3 and 4. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. It's very apparent, if you would ponder these two scriptures, that Jude was distressed. And the necessity of all saints contending for the true grace message is easily seen from these two scriptures. Jude's great concern was a perverted grace message that was being declared even back in first century Christianity. And this is clearly what the context reveals. Oftentimes in our day when we hear Jude 3 read, we never hear verse 4. Jude is talking about contending for the faith against people that change grace into something it is not. He's not telling the Christians to defend the deity of Christ or the Trinity, Jesus' death on a cross for all people that ever lived, or the bodily resurrection, or the eternal conscious torment of the wicked dead, even though all these doctrines are taught in the Bible. He's not using this scripture against the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or the Catholics or other similar groups. This is specifically written because ungodly people were distorting a biblical doctrine, grace, and Jude recognized the serious ramifications of that. The whole Christian faith was actually in jeopardy because these false teachers were declaring a doctrine that was not true. Now you think about that. What a blow and a refutation that alone is to people that would say that doctrine is not important. This passage certainly teaches, as do a dozen other ones, that doctrine is important. This word contend is found in Jude verse 3 is an interesting word to ponder. It means to fight, to labor fervently, or to strive, minus the preposition. It's also found in Luke 13:24. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. In other words, we are to labor fervently to enter through the narrow door. Because some people are not laboring enough, they're not going to get in according to what Jesus taught. That same exact word is found in Jude 3 regarding laboring for the true grace message. The difference is that a preposition is placed before that root word. And that preposition actually conveys intensive force because it is there. Imagine that. It's already intense. It says labor fervently to fight or to strive, but the preposition adds to that. Again, you can see that Jude was distressed. He was stating something that was of necessity. This is a very urgent appeal. This is something that all Christians were to do, to battle against this counterfeit grace message that was even alive back in first century Christianity. And the saints were all commanded to fight against that doctrine. Now they were to do that, to fight against this counterfeit grace message, by reasoning from the scriptures, as the Apostle Paul did, by exposing the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And in first century Christianity, they named names. I repeat, according to the Bible, they named names. Repeatedly in the New Testament, we see where names are cited, either in a good or a bad way. And that's what they were all commanded to do. These false teachers were dangerous people. Now, they might have believed in the Trinity, perhaps the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection. We don't know for certain, but that was irrelevant. If they were sound in other areas, that's not the issue. The issue is they had a false understanding of grace, and that would imperil the whole Christian faith. That in itself was a deadly error that would cancel out any and all good they might have been doing otherwise. Jude never, ever, in his epistle, said anything good or complimentary about these grace changes. Not even one single time. I plead with you to read over the book of Jude carefully, and you'll see how he described these grace changers, people that distort the true meaning of grace into a license for immorality. Now, Calvinism is supposed to be the doctrines of grace. All 5 points of Calvinism are sometimes referred to as the doctrines of grace. But all 5 of them are wrong. Therefore, they cannot be the doctrines of grace. And the most deadly, the most sinister and insidious point of Calvinism would be the 5th point. People that reject Calvinism, but nonetheless, they still embrace the teaching that is called eternal security, would often understand eternal security to include grace or to be grace. We received an email today from a person that wrote this, quote, "Charles Stanley is correct in connecting eternal security, the gospel, and the grace of God," unquote. Notice that. That is what a lot of people think, not just this person that wrote this email. It's a very common misconception that people have, trying to connect eternal security to grace as well as the gospel. Listen to what the popular teachers themselves have said about grace. You can see from what they are about to declare how they understand grace and how that has been likewise misapplied. Listen carefully.
I think about how many people sit in churches week after week after week and never hear anything about the blood, never hear anything about the cross, never hear anything about the grace of Almighty God. You see, it isn't just good news. It is good news about Jesus Christ, who paid our sin debt in full, to a holy God who required death for sin, and the shedding of His blood satisfied that requirement and made it possible for you and me to be accepted in the eyes of God and to be eternally secure in Him. That's why he called it the grace of God.
Eternal security is inherited at salvation as a part of grace.
You cannot out-sin the grace of God.
So under the grace of God, everything is permissible, but not all things are profitable. And so what you were doing was not profitable. It wasn't profitable to you, nor was it profitable to her. Nor was it profitable to the testimony that you would like to have been able to have presented to her. So there isn't anything profitable about it. It's permissible, but not profitable.
From Charles Stanley to Robert Thiem, the eternal security teachers have been erroneously declaring that eternal security is part of grace and connected to the gospel as well as Jesus' death on the cross. That is not all these grace changers have done. They have heretically changed grace into a license for immorality by declaring everything from you cannot outsin the grace of God to fornication is permissible but not profitable. Who did Bob George speak those horrendous words to? Believe it or not, he spoke that to a man who was sexually immoral. Listen again to what Bob George said based on the grace of eternal security.
So under the grace of God, everything is permissible, but not all things are profitable. And so what you were doing was not profitable. It wasn't profitable to you, nor was it profitable to her. Nor was it profitable to the testimony that you would like to have been able to have presented to her. So there isn't anything profitable about it. It's permissible, but not profitable.
Remember, Charles Stanley thinks you cannot outsin the grace of God. Hence, if a Christian would start to live like the devil, all he will get in exchange for his wickedness is chastening and loss of rewards. He won't lose his salvation for living like the devil, according to eternal security. If this isn't a license for immorality, what would be? How much more extreme can you get than living like the devil?
Does it mean that somehow God will not chasten you? Oh, yes, He will. One of the messages in this series has to do with those sins we commit as believers. What is God going to do? What are we going to lose in the judgment? And there is going to be loss in the judgment. Let there be no question about that. You can't sin and live like the devil down here and get by with it, even as a believer. The Bible says you will lose your reward, but you'll be saved so as by fire. You won't lose your salvation, but there's a whole lot to lose, brother, by sinful living.
Friends, multitudes are under this kind of delusion. They believe what these men and others have said about grace. Now let me add to the very things that you just heard these teachers say. Listen to these other quotes that we accumulated over the course of time in literature, including books from various teachers. Quote, "Thus the doctrine of eternal security might be said to be the keystone of the arch of the doctrines of grace," unquote. Quote, "All confusion on the subject of eternal security would disappear from your mind if only you could become clear on the meaning of grace," unquote. And of course, to their understanding of grace, David, when he fell into adultery, never ever lost his salvation. He never died spiritually. He always remained righteous in God's sight, but that's not what the Bible declares. Ezekiel 5 times stated, if a righteous man would turn and do evil, he would die for it, the very thing David did. So their understanding of grace would contradict Ezekiel and many other passages even in the New Testament. I stated before that there's no way, shape, or form that we could possibly connect eternal security with grace or the gospel. Let me give you specifically my reasonings for that, at least in part that is. According to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, we see that the gospel is connected with grace. But the true gospel has nothing to do with eternal security, since the gospel is shown to be conditional in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, and elsewhere. Hence, eternal security cannot be connected with grace. Now folks, what Jude feared might happen if the grace changers were not opposed and refuted with Scripture actually did occur, and right now we're suffering under this perverted version of grace and its influence. The grace changers of our hour are now held up as the Bible answer man. The Bereans, the apologists, the best known counter-cult people, the best known authors, the seminary teachers, and the pastors. Imagine that. Imagine these people that have changed grace into a license for immorality being exalted as they have been. In first century Christianity, these people had to slip in among the saints, but in our dark hour, they are held up as authorities of the Bible, and even allowed to openly defend their deadly doctrine on the radio. Jude believed false teaching about grace being a license for immorality would endanger the faith of Christianity. And to counter these false teachers, all Christians were commanded to struggle against this doctrine. Notice they were not told in Jude just to pray for these teachers so that they could get their doctrine straight. And they certainly were not told to financially support them or attend their congregations. They were to fight, to struggle, to battle against that message. That teaching had to be squashed and squelched and halted, or harm to precious souls would result. The command to contend was not just given to a few that were spiritual leaders or had, as some might say in our day, this gift, but instead it was given to all saints, men and women. Now, if you're curious what the Bible actually says about grace, what you need to do is to read with an open mind the entire New Testament. Drop all preconceived ideas. Read all 27 books of the New Testament carefully. You will be able to better understand what true biblical grace is. Just from the immediate context, though, of Jude verses 3 and 4, we know that the biblical grace in first century Christianity is not a license for immorality. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever see that grace permits fornication. It never states that you cannot out-sin the grace of God. Never. We'll be right back.
Anyone who has heard Charles Stanley preach knows that he is an excellent speaker. But is everything this popular Southern Baptist teaches biblically accurate? Is it true, as Stanley says, that Christians can bear absolutely no fruit, yet their salvation is never jeopardized? And that Christians can live like the devil and not lose their salvation? Don't be deceived by the fine-sounding arguments of eternal security. This is a salvation issue, and thus most important to your eternal destination. Perhaps one of the most shocking things Stanley preaches is that weeping and gnashing of teeth is in heaven. To read these and other shocking documented quotes by Stanley, order today for only $5 postage paid a copy of our 42-page booklet, The Gospel According to Charles Stanley.
If you would keep reading on down through the book of Jude, if you would get to verses 5 through 7, Jude tells us something else very important to all of this. He said, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Jude used the Israelites, the angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah to state in his own epistle how he battled against the grace changers. And from that we can understand what exactly the grace changers were doing and how they were distorting true biblical grace. He first referred to the Israelites. He said, the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. This is the very essence of what eternal security teaching is. The grace message of our day would declare that once you get saved or delivered by faith, you will always be safe, or you will always remain saved even though you might disobey. So the very thing that Jude countered is the very thing that we are hearing repeatedly in our dark hour. Verse 6 in Jude's epistle refers to the angels. And he said the angels did not keep their positions of authority. They abandoned their home, and consequently, they are now kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. Notice, the angels didn't keep their positions of authority, and now final condemnation is awaiting them. They had responsibility. They refused to do what they needed to do. The Bible teaches God will keep us, but it also teaches we are to keep ourselves, and this is all under biblical grace. The eternal security teachers, with their version of grace, would say that God is keeping us. That's how they emphasize the keeping in the scriptures. God will keep us. You don't keep yourself. In fact, they would say that that is legalism, a work salvation, and cultic. So Jude is making a very important point, which is destructive to the eternal security teachers of our hour, the grace changers of our day. Next, Jude referred to Sodom and Gomorrah. He stated they were sexually immoral and they will suffer eternal fire. Jude wanted everyone to know, as found repeatedly in the Bible, that the sexually immoral will go to eternal fire. Jude never said that fornication is permissible. He never said that you cannot out-sin the grace of God. Jude is getting across the point that even though you have once been delivered or saved, you must remain faithful, and that you can go astray and be lost just like the angels have. And also that sexual immorality will damn your soul to hell. It will drag you to the fires of hell, according to the Bible. Jude shows us how to contend for the real grace message by referring to the Israelites, the angels that fell, and Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude did not think this was an in-house debate. And Jude never stated the grace changers were anything but unsaved people. Blackest darkness had been prepared for them, and they did not have the Spirit of God, regardless how eloquent they might be or how many degrees they might hold. Jude also never said this was a secondary issue that we should not divide over. In fact, Jude went on and he stated that the grace changers are the ones that divide the Christians. We first read of grace in the book of Genesis, as strange as that might be. You could read of it 11 times if you're reading the King James Bible, and it first shows up in chapter 6, verse 8. Never in the Bible will you ever get the impression that grace is unmerited favor, like we have often been told. In fact, if you would take a poll and ask most people what they understand grace to be, chances are the vast majority would say that it's God's unmerited favor. It does not say that. The Bible teaches that God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Now, if that be the case, and obviously it is, then it's not unmerited favor. Notice that proud people are not going to get grace according to what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:5. There's another scripture that also shows that grace, very clearly, is not unmerited favor. I'll get to that later on in this message. Jude very clearly tells us what the true grace of God is not. It does not allow for or permit immorality. If you're interested in finding out what the true definition of grace is, you should never, ever consult a secular dictionary. It might tell you that grace is leniency, but that is not what the Bible declares. If you would check a secular dictionary, it might refer to a grace period and define that grace period as being a period of time before the borrower must begin or resume repayment of a debt or a loan. But again, that is not the meaning of grace in the Bible. According to Titus 2:11 and 12, we read this about grace. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It's impossible to ponder Titus 2:11 and 12 and think that grace is unmerited favor. And you'll certainly never ever get the idea from this that grace permits fornication and that you cannot outsin the grace of God. Grace is clearly connected with holy living, living pure before Almighty God. It says in 2 Timothy 1:9 that God has called us to a holy life not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. We are saved by grace. Acts 15:11 says, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are." Paul also stated, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." Notice, we are saved by grace, but that comes through faith. And that brings up this other scripture that I want to magnify, and that would be Romans 5 verse 2. It's a very important verse, a key scripture. It says this, "We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." So you get into the grace of God whereby you're saved by faith. And it's understood, faith in Jesus. But what happens if your faith in Jesus would cease to exist? As is clearly shown in Luke 8:13, Romans chapter 11, 19 through 23, 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20, and in 2 Timothy 2:18. Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us repeatedly that you can fall, you can backslide, and that you can even fall from grace. In Galatians 5, 2, 3, and 4, we read this, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." Paul told real Christians, true Christians, people that had received the Spirit of God, that they were fallen from grace if they were trying to be justified by law. They have been alienated from Christ, and Christ is of no value to them at all anymore. Now, if Christ is of no value to you at all, then you can be assured you no longer have salvation, because you cannot have salvation apart from Jesus. Notice how the gospel is connected with grace in Acts 20:24. Paul said, "I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." The Bible tells us elsewhere about grace that it's possible for us to receive God's grace in vain in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1. But very, very important is 1 Peter 5 verse 12. And this is similar to the passage I gave before from Titus chapter 2 verses 11 and 12. Peter said this in 1 Peter 5:12. He said, "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." So not only in Jude 3 and 4, but also here in 1 Peter 5:12, you see that grace was under attack back in first century Christianity and implied by Peter's statement. He's telling them to stand fast in the grace that he just described in 1 Peter. If you read through 1 Peter, you'll never ever get the impression that you cannot outsin the grace of God. You will never ever think that grace permits fornication or it allows for any kind of immorality. Never. You will never think that grace is unmerited favor. And it was Peter that said in 1 Peter 5:5 that God gives grace to the humble. So there is a condition according to what Peter said. And then he endorsed it by saying, "This is the true grace of God. Stand fast in this grace message." Not in this counterfeit grace message. Not in this grace that has been changed into a license for immorality that will damn souls and imperil the Christian faith. The Bible tells us in Titus 3:7, "Having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." In 1 Corinthians 15:2, it says, "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." Why is it when these eternal security people, with their version of grace, when they give their understanding of the gospel, they almost all the time avoid 1 Corinthians 15:2, which shows there's a condition to the gospel, that it is possible to believe in vain for a Christian. And this is all under the true gospel message, not a counterfeit gospel, not a cultic gospel, not legalism, not a work salvation, not heresy, but the true gospel that the Bible magnifies. People want us to think that under the grace of God, everything is permissible, but not all things are profitable. Folks, that is a deadly, devilish, damnable lie that has spread like gangrene. That is not the message of the Bible. Nowhere in the scriptures do you ever see where any kind of immorality is allowed or permitted because of grace, or because of the gospel, or because of Jesus' infinite work on the cross. You see, we're not talking about Jesus' infinite work on the cross. Sometimes these grace changers, what they want to do is to connect their false understanding of grace, their perverted doctrine of grace, with the infinite work of Christ. Yes, Jesus died for everybody. Yes, it was infinite. But that has nothing to do with saying that you cannot outsin the grace of God. They're altogether two entirely different things. Folks, don't be deceived by the false teachers of our day.
You cannot outsin the grace of God.
Now, what the Bible actually teaches is you must remain faithful to God after getting born again and after being saved by grace to actually enter His paradise kingdom. Now, this is the message of the original grace teachers, the apostles themselves, and even the Lord Jesus. This is not heresy that I'm teaching. Because of our website and our 801-page book refuting the teaching of eternal security called The Believer's Conditional Security, we have received thousands and thousands of emails and correspondence over the years. And these people try to somehow connect a work salvation and legalism to the very things we're teaching. And oftentimes all we do is give them a Bible verse, and that's what they come back with. Legalism, heresy, work salvation, cultic. This is how these people have been indoctrinated with this false concept of grace. The grace changers are dangerous people, according to Jude. Have you ever noticed that these apologists of our day like to refer to the book of Jude, verse 3, but how often they refuse to give verse 4 with verse 3? Verse 4 clearly, according to the context, shows we're to contend and struggle earnestly against people that change grace into something it isn't, a license for immorality. Dear brothers and sisters, the Word of God is open to you. You are encouraged to study it for yourself.
Can you imagine what it would be like to die and to go to hell? Try to imagine the regret and deep anguish for those who wake up in this horrible place prepared for the devil and his angels. As bad as that will be, even a greater surprise is awaiting the ones who believed in the security in sin gospel, commonly called eternal security. They died in a lost condition. They thought even for years that they would most assuredly go to heaven after their death, because they were once saved. But instead, they go to hell. This is how it will be for multitudes. Will you help us reach these and others before it's eternally too late? Please visit our website at www.evangelicaloutreach.org. Or you can call us and order our 800-page book, Refuting the Teaching of Eternal Security. And God bless you.